ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3 entitled Karma Yoga. We'll be taking verses from 27 to 30. So please repeat after me. प्रकृतेः क्रियमाणानि गुणैः कर्माणि सर्वशः अहंकार विमूढात्मा कर्ताहम् इति मन्यते। Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation: The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. Purport: Two persons, one in Krishna consciousness and the other in material consciousness, working on the same level, may appear to be working on the same platform, but there is a wide gulf of difference in their respective positions. The person in material consciousness is convinced by false ego that he is a doer of everything. He does not know that the mechanism of the body is produced by material nature, which works under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. The materialistic person has no knowledge that ultimately he is under the control of Krishna. The person in false ego takes all credit for doing everything independently, and that is the symptom of his nescience. He does not know that this gross and subtle body is the creation of material nature under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as such his bodily and mental activities should be engaged in the service of Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. The ignorant man forgets that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Rishikesh, or the master of the senses of the material body, for due to his long misuse of the senses in sense gratification, he is factually bewildered by the false ego, which makes him forget his eternal relationship with Krishna. Om Agya Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, he used to tell a story about a dog. So there was a dog in a village. So when one day one bullock cart was going on the street, and this dog was in between two bulls, and bullock cart was going quite fast, and he was thinking that he is pulling the bullock cart. So Prabhupada used to tell this story to show that how people think that they're the doers, as if this dog was in illusion, as Krishna says in this verse, Vimudhatma, Ahankar Vimudhatma, Kartaham. He thinks that I am the doer. Of course, day for yesterday, Radhika Raman Prabhu, he very elaborately, I think on Prerna, in Prerna, he explained, or maybe Sunday feast, he very elaborately explained on this verse, Ahankar Vimudhatma Kartaha Mithi Manyate, giving different examples, how actually we are pulled by unseen ropes of material nature of the modes. So, in verse number 26, the last verse we read yesterday, Krishna speaks about the ignorant men. He says, so as not to disrupt the minds of ignorant men attached to fruitive results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. So Krishna in verse number 26 is speaking about a person who is in ignorance. And what is his mentality? What is consciousness? He's explained in verse number 27, that who is an ignorant person who thinks that I am the doer. Very, very simple definition we can think of. And whenever we feel that, okay, I am in knowledge or something, we can test like how much I am in knowledge, how much I have overcome ignorance. To the degree we have overcome this concept that I am the doer, to that degree we are in actual knowledge. So this is the connection between these two shlokas. And Of course, it is very, very easy to tell others that, Prabhu, you are not the doer. Very, very easy. When others express unknowingly, unknowingly, directly, indirectly, that they are the doers, our first expression is, oh, why are you thinking that you are the doer? You are not the doer. So it is very, very easy to see that others are not the doers. But it is very, very difficult to see ourselves that we are not the doers. It is very, very easy to say that we are not the doers. But this tendency is so deep-rooted in us, it's very, very difficult to remove it. But if we have proper attitude, if we have real desire to overcome this, then eventually Krishna gives this realization to us that we are not the doers. In different ways, Krishna has so many ways to tell us that we are not the doers, provided we listen to him, provided we try to understand what he is trying to speak to us. So, like example is given of Arjuna. Arjuna will hear after the 18th chapter how Krishna tells him that now you decide, Arjuna, whether you want to fight or not. And Arjuna decided. And we know how ferociously he fought and defeated all the Kauravas and won the battle. So in one sense, it appears that he was a doer. And if we simply just take the scripture and like what is given in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, we can see, okay, he was thinking that I'm the doer. Of course, he was not thinking. But as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, I think in 9th or 10th chapter, when he went to Dwaraka to see Krishna and all the relatives, and there he found that Krishna has already left this material world. So while bringing all the wives of Krishna from Dwaraka to Hastinapur, he was attacked by some tribals, and he was very easily defeated by everyone. So at that time, he got this realization that I am the doer. Because he understood that I have the same bow, Gandiva, by which I killed so many big, big heroes like Karna, and so many, and I have the same arrows, same quiver, same chariot, everything is same. But one thing was missing, which made the difference, and that was Krishna. So he got that realization. Of course, he had that realization previously, but just to make this point more clear, that at that juncture of his life, he realized that I am not the doer. And it is not that Krishna gives this kind of realization only to devotees who are like Arjuna. No. For Krishna, everyone is as dear as Arjuna. And Krishna, through different people, through different circumstances, different situations, he is also trying to pass on this message to us that we are not the doers. We have to simply listen to what he is saying, simply trying to see what he is trying to show us, that we are not the doers. And in our lives also, sometimes we realize this, that actually I am not a doer. When some of our abilities are taken away, suppose a person, he becomes sick. So before that, he was thinking, you know, oh, see, without me, nothing is going to work. I am the center of the universe. Everything is working because I am there. What will happen, just like politicians sometimes they think, you know, what will happen to the world or the nation if I am not there? So this is ahankar. But when a person gets sick or a politician dies, you know, is assassinated, and still this world goes on. From last millions and millions of years, this world is going on. Big people came, like Napoleon came, Alexander came, Hitler came, Mussolini. So many big people came, big empire came, who were thinking that we are the centers. Without us, how people are going to survive? But still everything is going on. So sometimes Krishna also sends these kinds of messages to us. I was reading one of Satsuru Maharaj's editorial he wrote many years before in Back to Godhead. And the title of editorial was seeing the bright side of sickness. How when we fall sick, how we can see from a positive perspective. So he begins his editorial by saying that a few weeks before I was sick, and during sickness, I wrote a poem. And had I not fallen sick, I would have never came up with such a beautiful poem. It's a very small poem, just read it. I'll just read it for you. He writes, "My list of things to do." Like we can also feel whenever we are sick, what happens to us? "My list of things to do falls to the side. Everyone has a big list of things to do. Okay, tomorrow I have to meet this person, I have to go there, I have to do this, I have to do that. But suddenly you're caught up with malaria or something, you know, you're on the bed. You cannot do anything. So my list of things to do falls to the side. All I do is rest. Yet one cry to Krishna is worth 100 days of marching in pride." So the whole point is, if we allow Krishna to crush this mentality that I'm the doer, whether it is through some sickness or through some changes in our lives, some upheavals, some things goes upside down, you know. So, but if we can come to this conclusion that I'm not the doer actually, Krishna is the doer, then all the pains, all the difficulties, all the calamities, they are worthy. So that is the whole point we have to understand. And we have the example of Pingala, the prostitute in Srimad Bhagavatam. Like how different devotees they come to this conclusion. So she came in a different way. She was a prostitute, and one night she was just waiting for some customers. And one man was coming, and she thought, he might be my customer. But then he just passed, ignoring completely. And then she thought, oh my God, he's not the customer. Okay, next person, he must be my customer. He also went. Then third person, fourth person. That night, no one came to her. And ultimately, something clicked to her. And she immediately went inside and realized that actually, I'm not this body. And Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I have to surrender to him. So she got realization through that way. We have example of Avanti Brahman in 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was in today's term, a millionaire. But he was very, very miserly person. So somehow or other he lost all his wealth. And seeing that his wealth is no more with him, all of his relatives, his wife, sons, everyone just gave him up. Just rejected him completely. And then he got to the realization that I'm not the doer. Ultimately, I have to surrender to Krishna. So in our lives also, Krishna is trying to, again and again, to tell us, you know, that you're not the doer. Please come out of this ignorance. Because he's our well-wisher. He loves us. Suhrida sarva bhutanam gyatvam amshantim rachati. If we accept that Krishna is my well-wisher, he is my friend, and he is trying to teach me that I am the doer. And early we realize this, that I am not the doer, more will be happy. So this we have to understand what Krishna is trying to say here. And a devotee, although he understands that he is not the doer, still he acts. That is an amazing thing. Generally, like someone may conclude that, if I am not the doer, then what is the need of acting? So let me just become inactive. But a devotee is active. So, but when we say that a devotee is free from this tendency of thinking that I am not the doer, how to understand when a devotee says, okay, yesterday I did that. I went to that program and conducted 150 people came. I constructed that house. I distributed 150 Bhagavad Gitas. I collected such and so many funds. How to understand that? Of course, there are different levels. Like on lower levels, one may be having this tendency, I'm the doer. See, I've collected so many funds for Krishna, and you know this temple is going because I'm collecting so many funds. So that could be there. But in higher stages also, we find devotees are saying, like Prabhupada, if you read Prabhupada's lecture or Prabhupada's purport, sometimes Prabhupada says, okay, we have constructed temples, so many temples. We have so many devotees. So much of activities are going on in our Krishna consciousness. But a devotee, he may say this. But first of all, his all activities are guided by Krishna. As Krishna says, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. He is completely under the guidance of Krishna. And second thing is that he acts as an instrument of Krishna. He is completely convinced that I am simply an instrument. As Srila Prabhupada in his bhajan, he says that I am a puppet Krishna. Please make me dance in whatever way you want. So he is completely convinced that I am a puppet in Krishna's hand. And just for the sake of saying, you know, okay, again and again, saying, you know, oh, I'm not doing it, Krishna is doer, you know. No, that is also kind of negative things, you know. If we are doing something, we should accept that I am doing something. But we should give credit to Krishna. That because of Krishna, I am able to do. So a devotee, a sense of doership leads to attachment. And that is a sign. A devotee, he may say that I am doing all these things, but he is completely detached. That is the sign that he doesn't have this attitude or mentality that I am the doer. Because he is detached. Immediately, like Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was told, within 7 days you are going to die. And he was immediately, he said, okay, take whatever you want. Because he was convinced that I am the doer. Because sense of doership leads to attachment. And detachment is a sign of absence of that mentality, that I am the doer. He could easily detach himself. That shows that he was convinced that I am not the doer. And this we can see in so many examples which are given in Bhagavatam. Immediate detachment, no attachment. Even in the life of Srila Prabhupada we see Prabhupada constructed 108 temples, initiated practically 7,000 to 10,000 disciples and wrote so many books, traveled 13-14 times around the world, did so many things. But at the last moment of his life, when he was asked, what is your last desire? There is nothing wrong in saying, okay, I want that everyone should become Krishna conscious. These are spiritual desires, you know. But Prabhupada said, ko ichha nahi. That I don't have any desire. Desirelessness. Material desireless, of course, not spiritual desirelessness. So this is a sign of detachment. And detachment is a sign of absence of sense of doership. We see in the example of Maharaj Chitraketu. He was such a big, like, he got the darshan of Lord Sankarshan within 7 days. Such a powerful personality. And he was just moving in his aircraft. And he just made some casual comments towards Lord Shiva. And Mother Parvati immediately cursed, become a Brahma Rakshasa. And immediately accepted, okay. Okay, Mother, whatever you say, I accept it. That is a sign of detachment. Vidura, he was practically kicked out by Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra, but accepted as Krishna's will. So that is the sign of detachment, that a person, he doesn't have any false ego. He is free from ahankar or false ego. But if false ego is there, then automatically it means that true ego is also there. When we say we should become free from false ego, if the concept of false ego is there, then automatically it implies that something should be there, true ego. And that is true ego when one understands that I'm not the doer and Krishna is the doer. And that is explained in next verse, verse number 28. I just read it. Please don't repeat it. Tattvavittu mahabaho guna karma vibhagayo guna guneshu vartanta iti matva nasajjate. One who is in knowledge of the absolute truth, O mighty armed, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work and devotion and work for fruitive results. In this, Prabhupada writes, in the purport, Prabhupada writes, in his pure state of existence, a devotee is meant to dovetail his activities in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He therefore engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness and becomes naturally unattached to the activities of material senses, which are all circumstantial and temporary. He knows that his material condition of life is under the supreme control of the Lord. Consequently, he is not disturbed by all kinds of material reactions, which he considers to be the mercy of the Lord. So, here Prabhupada explains that a devotee is, he is not agitated in circumstances which are circumstantial and which are temporary. A devotee is completely convinced that this material, I have nothing to do with this material world. This is insignificant. Our Gurudas Prabhu, in his book, by his example, he tells one Srila Prabhupada's pastime. Once Prabhupada was in Bombay and he went to see a doctor or something. One doctor came to see him. And this doctor, he had met Prabhupada in London 2 or 3 years before. So Prabhupada was coming down with him in a lift. And this doctor was amazed, you know. He said, Prabhupada, Swamiji, see, 2-3 years before we met in London, and now after suddenly we are meeting here. This world is so small. And Prabhupada very casually said, yeah, it is insignificant. Yeah, it is insignificant. He was trying to say, you know, from the space point of view, that London and India is so small world. And Prabhupada said, yeah, this is insignificant. So a devotee is convinced that this material world is insignificant. And because he's convinced that this material world is insignificant and temporary, he doesn't take anything of this material world seriously. Because everything is going to change here. If any situation, any relationships, anything is going to change next moment, why to take seriously? So only as Krishna says, Ashochanan Vashochastam Pragyavadam Shabhasase, that if a person takes seriously this material world, he's a fool. Because he thinks that everything is permanent here. And this is a theme we see in throughout the Bhagavatam, if we see that a devotee is convinced that this material world is temporary. And he doesn't care about it, you know. If someone blasphemes him, someone, you know, just like Vidura was chastised, Chitraketu Maharaj was cursed, Parishit Maharaj was cursed. They were convinced that it's temporary. Okay. I've been cursed to die within 7 days. Even if I'm not cursed, I'll die after 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Then why to take seriously? Why to make big issue out of it? And compromise our eternal Krishna consciousness. That is the whole point. Just to protect some temporary things, why to compromise permanent things? So devotee is convinced that this material world is temporary. But a non-devotee, a devotee, a person who is still under the clutches of false ego, he thinks that this material world is permanent and I'm the doer. And why, like, it is difficult to come out of this tendency that I'm the doer? Because when we consider that I'm the doer, then automatically we become the enjoyer also. Or because I am doing, so I'm the enjoyer also. But when Krishna said, not, you're not the doer, it becomes so difficult to digest it. Because then we have to accept the other side of the coin, that you're not the enjoyer also. And which, you know, practically smashes the foundation of our entire material existence. So this is verse number 28, where Krishna says that a devotee knowing well the difference between the work in devotion and work for fruitive results, or in other terms, devotee should understand the difference between spiritual activities and material activities. And then so in verse number 27, Krishna explains about a person who is in ignorance. And in verse number 28, Krishna explains about a person who is in knowledge. So automatically question comes, okay, now I have come in knowledge, I have knowledge, and this person is ignorant. So now I should tell him. I should hold his neck, you know, his collar, and tell him, Prabhu, you are ignorant. You know. So Krishna says, no. Krishna says, Prakrite guna sammudha sajjante guna karmasu tan kritsan vido mandan kritsan vinna vichalayet Bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. But the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. So, in the purport, end of second para, Srila Prabhupada writes, those who are enlightened in spiritual life, however, should not try to agitate such materially engrossed persons. Better to prosecute one's own spiritual activities silently. Such bewildered persons may be engaged in such primary moral principles of life as nonviolence and similar materially benevolent work. So here Prabhupada says, you know, you just perform your activities, spiritual, your Krishna consciousness silently, and let whatever they are doing. So like it appears, oh, how Prabhupada can say like this, you know, that, oh, these people are going to hell, and Prabhupada is saying, you make your life perfect and let them go to hell. But in next paragraph, Prabhupada makes it clear. Prabhupada writes, men who are ignorant cannot appreciate activities in Krishna consciousness, and therefore Lord Krishna advises us not to disturb them and simply waste valuable time. But the devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord because they understand the purpose of the Lord. Consequently, they undertake all kinds of risks, even to the point of approaching ignorant men to try to engage them in the acts of Krishna consciousness, which are absolutely necessary for the human being. So, of course, in first paragraph of this purport, Prabhupada is just repeating what Krishna has said. Like he's just paraphrasing what Krishna said in the text. But in next para, Prabhupada is speaking as a Vaishnava. In first paragraph, he's speaking as Krishna, what Krishna is saying. And next, he's speaking as a devotee. The devotee is very, very compassionate. Although Krishna is saying that, oh, don't... Because Krishna loves his devotee so much. And Krishna knows, you know, preaching is such a difficult job. When you're going out for preaching, people may accuse you, they'll blaspheme you, criticize you. And Krishna doesn't like that his devotees are being criticized or blasphemed or being hurt. So Krishna is, okay, forget it, you know, let them go to hell. No problem. But you are a devotee, I want that you should remain happy, peaceful. But a devotee, because he knows the inner heart of Krishna, so because Krishna is trying to protect him and say, okay, don't care of these non-devotees. So similarly, a devotee is also trying to protect Krishna or protect Krishna's interest. Devotees knows, no. If I preach and if I make devotees, and then Krishna will be more happy. So therefore, devotee preaches. So, but preaching, of course, in Western countries, if you go, now this word, using this word is considered, you know, something like horrible. How can you say preaching? Now we use teaching. In our BTJ articles also, sometimes we send our BTJ articles for approval for international issue to America, Alachua. And if anywhere, you know, preaching word is there, so they say, no, remove this word and, you know, make it teaching. Because preaching is considered a kind of conversion. So, but preaching is a broad concept. Sometimes we think, okay, giving lecture is preaching, or talking to outsiders is preaching, or book distribution is preaching, or food for life is preaching. Generally, we have these ideas of preaching. But in broad sense, preaching means just lifting someone's consciousness or bringing someone more closer to Krishna. If somehow or the other, if you are able to do this, bringing someone more closer to Krishna, then we are preaching. We may not be able to give big lectures. We may not be able to do massive book distribution as, you know, many devotees do. We may not be able to sing beautiful kirtans, or we may not be able to cook wonderful prasadam. But if somehow or other, if we are able to uplift, of course we should never think that I am uplifting someone's consciousness. Then again we falls back into verse number 27, Karta Hamiti Manyate Ahankar Vimudatma. We should always think, okay, this rare gift is given to me by Krishna and the Acharyas, so let me share it with others by their mercy. So preaching is a broad concept and basically means lifting someone's consciousness and bringing him more closer to Krishna. And it could be, you know, just a smile to outsider, you know. If you are traveling in a train and someone says to you, Hare Krishna, and if he simply says, Hare Krishna, thank you very much, that's the preaching. Appreciating someone comes to temple, just appreciate, oh, you are such a nice person, all the way from so far you came to temple. Or just giving laddu to someone, you know, here we do, or giving one card to someone, speaking nicely, encouraging others. And even among devotees, it is not that that preaching means only to those who are ignorant of Krishna. Even among ourselves, like among devotees, therefore Krishna says, Machitta Madgata Prana Bodhayantasya Parasparam. That we should enhance each other's Krishna consciousness also. That is also part of preaching. Of course, some preachings are preaching techniques, or you know, say, preaching things are frontline, like everyone sees, oh, this person is, every morning a name is announced, such and such person, 200 Bhagavad Gita, so everyone knows, every day his name comes, you know. Or this person is, you know, giving lecture 5 days a week, or this person, you know, is a head cook. Of course, head cook is always, everyone knows, but no one knows who is, you know, who is the assistant, who is the helper, no one talks about them. But they are also preachers. And we should try to recognize them also. And we should understand that they also plays a very, very important part. If we are simply thinking, no, only the frontline people are the main, then automatically we will develop a desire to become frontline man. Unless we have genuine appreciation for the backliners also, we'll think, oh, only frontliners are the best and I should become like that. But in Krishna consciousness, as in the Bible, Jesus says, those who are first in this material world, they're last in the eyes of God. And those who are last, they're first in the eyes of God. Of course, that doesn't mean that we should always remain last, you know. If our service demands that we should come in front, we have to come in front. There is no other option. But the overall point of preaching is that, and even Krishna, he also, as he says in this verse, that one should not unsettle. So Krishna also is such a gentleman. He also doesn't like to unsettle person, you know. Otherwise, he has complete authority. He can, you know, just tell everyone, okay, you have to do like this. Surrender to me. Otherwise, you know, go to hell forever. He can say. But he's, you know, he allows us. That is kind of humility of Krishna. Isn't it? Otherwise, you know, if a person is having such power and authority, it becomes, more power we have, more it becomes difficult for us to see someone, you know, not following us. But here, you know, Krishna is okay. It's a sign of renunciation, Krishna's renunciation. And he is so broad-minded also. He doesn't expect that we become pure devotees overnight and we become renunciate or detach immediately. No, he gives so many options. In 12th chapter, he says, you try to fix your mind on me. And then he says, okay, if you're not able to do that, okay, then, you know, work for me. And then he says, okay, if you're not able to work for me, then at least whatever work you're doing, offer the results to me. So he's giving so many options. He's not rigid that you have to be like this only. And similarly, we can see in the lives of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. He was also while preaching to different people, he was so flexible. Like when he was preaching, when he went to see Prakashanand Saraswati and all the Mayavadi sannyasis, 60,000 sannyasis, he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like he could have, you know, just take his chakra and just chop everyone's head. But what he did, and it was genuine for him, genuine humility. It is not that he was trying to show them, okay, you know, I know that I'm a great person, but, you know, you'll never listen unless I perform this act. So just for your purification, I am performing this act. No, that was not into his mind. He genuinely was feeling humble when he sat where everyone washed his feet. So genuinely went there and just sat there, feeling himself very humble and lowly. And that transformed the heart of Prakashanand Saraswati. So it's a matter of transforming others' heart. How sometimes we may have to act very, you know, rudely also. But we have to use our intelligence. And if we have sincere desire that, okay, I want to help this person. I want to help this person come closer to Krishna. If we have sincere desire, then Krishna will give us intelligence. Okay, you can act in this way and see, this person will respond immediately. So it's a matter of our attitude that if we really want to serve that person in the mood of servant. And this we can see in the life of Narad Muni, that how he's so sensitive in his preaching, and his desire to bring people more closer to Krishna is so strong that he meets different varieties of people, and he knows exactly what kind of treatment they need. When he met great king like Prachin Barhi, he's such a big king, he cannot tell him directly. Of course, he can tell, but there won't be any result. He'll immediately, you know, throw him out. Okay, you came to my palace and you are trying to teach me. So how did he tell Prachin Barhi? He told some fictitious story of a king Puranjan and how he was so attached to family life and his kingdom and everything, and how by the power of time he became detached. And Prachin Barhi got the, you know, hint that he is trying to tell me, and he became detached. He preached to Megrari. As Krishna says, you know, a devotee, it doesn't unsettle. So Narad Muni didn't unsettle Prachin Barhi. He was comfortable sitting, and gradually he understood, oh, he's trying to convey some message to me. So, and similarly Megrari also, he didn't tell Megrari, oh, what are you doing? You are such a obnoxious hunter. You throw away your arrow and bow and all these things and just completely surrender to Krishna. No, he didn't unsettle him. He said, okay, you continue your hunting, no problem. I don't have any problem with that. You just don't kill them half. Kill them fully. So, otherwise what happens when immediately we attack their attachments and attack their ideas, attack their feelings, so people become defensive. Oh, how can you say this to me? But Narad Muni is so sensitive, such sensitive that he says, okay, you continue. But don't kill them, kill them completely. And then he became open. And then he got transformed. So there are so many stories in scriptures, especially about Narad Muni. Practically, from first canto till 12th canto, we'll find that he met so many devotees, different varieties of people, and how wonderfully he preached them or teached them, taught them, and they became transformed. And what is the problem, like, if we unsettle them? What is the problem we are doing? Like, he's doing wrong. What's the problem? So problem is, Krishna says that it is not good for our spiritual life. And this is explained in 9th offense to the holy name, that if we preach the glories of holy name, or, you know, deep tattva of Krishna consciousness to a devotee, to a person who doesn't have faith in Krishna, that is offense. Because if we tell such esoteric things to him, and because he doesn't have faith, he'll blame Krishna, he'll criticize Krishna, or he'll be having doubt on Krishna. And anyway, he doesn't have much pious credits, and further blasphemy of Krishna and criticism will create more sinful reactions. And because we are the cause of that, we'll also get the reaction. Therefore, again, in the Bible, it is said that don't throw the pearls in front of the swines or the pigs, because they'll trample upon them and you'll be destroyed. Or in Hindi, as it is saying, you know, bhans ke aage bin bajana. I don't know if you heard it, you know. Because if you play this bean in front of a snake, okay, he understands that language. But Bhans, you know, she is such an ignorant person, creature, that it will not understand. But that doesn't mean that a devotee, he thinks, oh, these people are ignorant, you know. So let them go wherever they are going. I am happy with my Krishna consciousness. No. Prabhupada said that a devotee goes out of his way to express his compassion. So this is Yeah, one more thing, like, because why we should not unsettle them? More important point is to bring them to the realizations, not to the actions. One may perform some act of detachment, but unless that detachment is coming from the heart, that detachment will remain superficial and temporary. As in the case of, I think Prabhupada told the story of one very rich man, I forgot his name, that he was like, at that time, you know, in 20s and 30s, he was having such wealth, and he gave practically everything to for freedom mission. And when he gave everything, like in that moment of emotion, you know, a big lecture was given, like I'm just speculating, and it was said, okay, you give every wealth to Krishna, like we say, you know, surrender, surrender. So in that lecture of, you know, surrender to the nation, you know, give everything to the nation, you know, so he gave everything. He became so enthusiastic that he gave everything to the freedom fighters, and nothing was left with him. But after a few days, when that intoxication of that lecture or whatever, you know, came down, so he realized, my God, I have nothing with me. How will I survive now? And within few months he died, because he could not bear the shock that I have nothing. I'm going to survive. So that was artificial detachment. But actual detachment comes when one receives higher taste. And higher taste comes when we engage ourselves in Krishna service. So therefore, a devotee, instead of just pushing someone towards artificial detachment or artificial renunciation, he engages them in Krishna service, which brings natural detachment and actual renunciation. Therefore, Prabhupada, in the end of the purpose, he says that even to the point of approaching ignorant men to try to engage them in the acts of Krishna consciousness. When one engages himself in Krishna consciousness, this is the nature of Krishna consciousness. Bhakti automatically brings jnana and vairagya. Knowledge that I am not the doer, whatever Krishna is speaking in these verses, I am not the doer, Krishna is the doer. Automatically this knowledge comes, and automatically detachment also comes. There is no need of preaching to someone that be detached. Of course, we have to speak the principles, and unless we speak the principles, like we won't get strengthened in our Krishna consciousness, and people will not come to know. But simply by speaking about renunciation, a renunciation doesn't come. It comes by higher taste. So here Krishna is saying that we should not try to unsettle them. Better engage them in Krishna consciousness. So slowly, slowly. So we have so many examples, like in our Krishna consciousness movement, that someone came to temple and he just got some halwa, or, you know, did little service, and slowly, 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 and after 10, 15 years, he's such a wonderful devotee. So detachment came gradually. And in the next verse, Krishna is telling Arjuna that now how to act properly. And in the purport, Prabhupada begins the purport by saying, this verse clearly indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. And in the verse, Krishna says, Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvaraha. Therefore, Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me with full knowledge of me, without desire for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. So here Krishna is telling him, okay, now Arjun, fight. And in Surrender to Me, Bhurijan Prabhu writes that here Krishna is mentioning basically three points. Nirashir means without desire for profit. And Nirmamo, with no claims to proprietorship. And Vigata Jwara, lethargy. So Bhurijan Prabhu writes that desire for profit and claim for proprietorship is a sign of mode of passion. And lethargy is a sign of ignorance. So Krishna is trying to tell Arjun that you become free from mode of ignorance and become free from mode of passion, and then you fight. Because automatically, like, someone may conclude, okay, if Krishna, you are saying that, okay, you have to fight without the desire of profit. Because generally we act, this is a sign of mode of passion, that, okay, what I will get. A person who is in mode of passion, whatever he does, first his first question is, okay, what I'm going to get out of it. That is first question. So Krishna is making clear that you have to understand that you are not going to get anything, quote unquote anything. So then automatically someone says, okay, I may not get anything, but still, you know, I possess these things, you know. Okay, these are my things, I'll use them in your service. And profit is also yours, Krishna. Krishna says, no. Neither the profit, nor you are the proprietor. I am the proprietor. Then automatically, if we are not going to enjoy the profit, we are not the proprietor, then we may feel, you know, then why to act? What I am going to get out of it? Krishna says, no. Don't be even lethargic. Get up and fight. So in these four verses, basically, Krishna is, in verse number 27, Krishna said that he is explaining about the person who is in mode of ignorance, who thinks that I am the doer. And in verse number 28, Krishna is telling about devotee who has complete knowledge of spiritual activities and material activities. And in verse number 29, Krishna is explaining that although a devotee has complete spiritual knowledge and he sees ignorant person in front of him, still he doesn't unsettle them. He tries to act in such a way, somehow or other he finds some means to elevate his Krishna consciousness or bring more closer to Krishna. And how a devotee surrenders to Krishna, how he acts in complete Krishna consciousness, Krishna tells in this verse that without any profit, without thinking that I am the proprietor, and by giving up all the lethargy, he completely surrendered to the will of Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. If anyone has any question or comment, please ask.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the nice lesson. Really, you said, mentioned that we can understand practically how we are not the doers. You gave the example of Arjuna also. He was fighting and all that. So, practically, in our day-to-day life, you said we can get many realizations that we are not the doer and all that. So, especially when you fall sick and all that. But again, when we get well, we think we start doing things and we said we are the doer. Sometimes it happens, you know. So, that's a realization of not being doer is only for some time. It doesn't last long. It's just for some time when you are in a difficult situation or you feel some loss in life, something is there. And again, when you are well, then again you think, you know, everything is nice and I'm doing and everything is okay. So how we can, you know, like have that in the back of mind, at the same time not get depressed, because we sometimes get depressed, you know, okay, nothing is happening and all those things, you know. So how we can get that proper consciousness and carry on?
Of course, I'm also struggling with that. Every time I fell sick, you know, I think, oh, next time I'll be okay, I'll do this, I'll do that. But this is the nature of this material world, you know. Water, like water, you know, always flows down. So similarly, therefore Krishna says that Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. Again and again and again we have to associate with devotees. Again and again we have to read Bhagavatam. We have to read scriptures and learn from scriptures. That is the whole purpose of scriptures. I was mentioning examples of Maharaj Chitraketu, Maharaj Parikshit. They were such practically emperor of the entire world, but still how they acted. So if we can simply follow in their footsteps and pray to them, that is important. Because we have anarthas in our heart. Unless we take out the anarthas from the root of our heart, our realizations will be temporary. Therefore we cannot call it realization in one sense. They are realizations, but they are not like solidified realizations. So if you want to make our relation solid, then it will happen only after the anartha. Only after the anartha nivritti nishtha comes. Shraddha and nishtha, both are faith. But the only difference is, shraddha is like in our stage. When we are sick, we understand, oh, I am not the doer. But as soon as our health is back, we think, oh, I see I'm the doer. I'm doing so many things. Because, so, how to come to the stage of nishtha, sadhu sang, bhajan kriya, and then anartha nivritti. If we do associate with sadhus properly, if we do our bhajan, bhajan means like, includes practically everything of a devotee, from getting up in the morning, getting up early in the morning, and you know all the activities and taking rest, and then anartha nivritti. So when anartha nivritti take place, then only nishtha comes. Then only we understand. Now, like pingla, sometimes it happens, you know, just in a moment. It depends on Krishna, you know. Krishna is Swarat. So he gave that relation to pingla like within one night. And Avanti Brahman had to learn that to little hard way. He learned this. So, but to turn faith, ado shraddha, komal shraddha into nishtha, we have to perform our bhajan kriya. And if we are free from anarthas, then once we are established in that consciousness, as it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, that once one is established in that consciousness, it doesn't fall back. But till the time, we'll get up like a small child, you know, because he's not mature. He gets up, you know, just walks two steps, again falls down. But parents appreciate that. So we should be happy, not happy, we should encourage ourselves, thinking that Krishna is like that father. Like even if for 2 days, if we have that attitude, that I'm not the doer actually. And if you're praying, oh Krishna, even if I become okay, please let this relation continue. If you're praying sincerely, Krishna sees that, oh, this, you know, you're walking two steps. Again, we may fall down. It's okay. Krishna doesn't mind. So Krishna will again give us ability to stand up again and walk. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, in text number 28, that one word is there, tattvavid. Means the person who knows the absolute truth, means the Brahma, the Paramatma and the Supreme Godhead. So the person who knows the three things, he is known as the tattvavid. So how a person can know these three things, absolute?
How to understand, of course, whatever is going on in this temple, whatever activities are going on, they are meant to come to that conclusion only. There is no separate process, you know, separate thing. Okay, you do this. All this, okay, chanting is for this purpose. You'll get that out of chanting. Okay, book distribution, you'll get that out of book distribution. Temple cleaning, you'll get that out of temple cleaning. No, purpose of each and every activity which is going on here or which is being taught by Srila Prabhupada or in Vedic scriptures, purpose is to understand Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Come to that realization. So we have to just leave ourselves into the flow of this Krishna consciousness, activities of Krishna consciousness, and gradually we'll find ourselves to the conclusion that one fine day, as Prabhupada used to say, one fine day you'll see Krishna face to face, you know. So it is not that, okay, one day we'll see Krishna's one finger, okay, realize, you know, little bit, okay, oh, I saw Krishna. No, one fine day, Prabhupada said, you know, you'll see Krishna face to face. So as purification takes place, we'll understand what is Brahman, what is Paramatma, what is Bhagwan. We have to just continue. We cannot demand Krishna, okay, you Krishna, show this. You have to simply please Krishna by our attitude. And if Krishna is pleased, for Krishna, he can immediately come in front of us. For him, there is any difficulty? I'm asking you, no? For him, there is no difficulty, no? He can immediately right here. But we have to prove our sincerity to him. And then he is most eager to come to us. In one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada writes that Krishna is never lazy in taking care of his devotees. So he is always attentive. Okay, this is my devotee needs. We have to just fulfill our part. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Bhagavad Gita ki jai.